there's a lot of similarities. And if it would have happened here, you know, it's devastating.
Northern Panhandle residents join in to help Huna heal after the killing of two village police officers there. And the first sports event on home turf for the Glacier Bears was a win. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. When officers Tony Wallace and Matt Tokioka were shot and killed in Huna late last month, a lot of people in Southeast felt it. It's moments like this, says Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe, when Southeast Alaska doesn't feel like a group of remote islands and inlets, but quite familiar.
I think Southeast is, you know, although we're spread apart by a lot of miles, we're a very tight community, and you know, everyone pretty well knows everyone else. I knew most of the officers that worked in Huna. The mayor knows a lot of people in that area, and I think it's important that we support one another.
Chief Lowe and Haines Mayor Jan Hill are two among the crowds of Southeast residents who are traveling to Huna for the memorial service Wednesday. The ceremony honors the two officers who were killed in an ambush while they were talking on a Huna street on August 28th. John Marvin Jr. was arrested after a standoff with law enforcement. He's been charged with two counts of first-degree murder. Chief Lowe says incidents like this, although horrifying, can happen anywhere.
I have always said that the community that we live in is not any different than any community down south. We have, in proportion, we have the same amount of crime as what we do anyplace else. And when you look at a community of 800 people, is it proportionate to what would happen in Seattle or New York? Yeah, it is. Those kind of things happen. They're always, and police officers are trained to know that it always can happen, even though you live in a community like Haines or like Huna. So I think police probably are more prepared for something like this because we just understand it's a reality. Even though we live in these small communities that we know everybody and everyone gets along, you just always know in the back of your mind that something like that can happen, and it's a tragedy when it does.
But it's the response to the tragedy that people are talking about this week. Skagway Borough Assembly members voted to donate money to the families of the killed officers. Emily Deitch is the Skagway Borough clerk.
The mayor, he wants to give a donation to the families of the slain Huna officers. And so they decided to donate a total of $2,500 to both families.
Deitch explained that the assembly will revisit the topic and consider a larger donation if there's a need.
They really just wanted to reach out to them because they feel like the mayor did explain that he felt that Huna was, you know, they're in our area, they're included in our census group, and they're similar in size, they have a similar, population, the police department is about the same size, and so there's a lot of similarities, and if it would have happened here, you know, it's devastating. So I think that they wanted to make that gesture.
Huna Police Chief John Millen said that one of his Huna Academy recruits was going to attend the service, but now the whole Sitka Academy is making arrangements to see the memorial service. So many people are attending, in fact, that the venue had to change to the Huna Junior Senior High School's new gymnasium, and the Alaska Marine Highway substituted the ferry Leconte with the larger Malaspina. It fits an additional 200 people and is free of charge for people traveling from Juneau to Huna for the service. Governor Sean Parnell will speak at the service. It'll also be the first time the United States Honor Flag is flown in Alaska. The flag was flown at Ground Zero following the 9/11 tragedy and now travels around the country to honor fallen police officers and firefighters. Police officers from around the U.S. and Canada are also expected to attend. Again, Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe, who's one of the people attending the memorial in Huna.
I think it's very similar to what happens here in Haines when someone in our community that we don't even know they have a need, like one of the sports teams gets to go to some event down in Kentucky, and the whole community comes together to help them out. It's not that you know them or that you're related to them, it's just that you feel that tight bond because we all live here. And it's a very similar thing with police officers. You might not know the officer, but you know that, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. You know, it could be me the next time. So we all go through the same things, and you know, we all understand what it's like to live with that possibility, and for your families to have to put up with that. So I think we just, you know, when a tragedy like this does happen, we just feel the need to help out.
One year after the formation of the Skagway Port Commission, the Borough Assembly took a formal look at the group's accomplishments since last summer. The commission was formed last year to help the borough manage the vision of a larger-scale regional transportation facility in Skagway. Their scope of interest is not limited to marine transportation, as has been evident in recent developments. It also involves road, rail, and air travel. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch.
You know, we've been working for several years trying to sort of push forward with the port improvements, the harbor improvements, and I believe that it became necessary to have a commission just for the development of the port. So not specifically the harbor commission, which is really dealing with the small boat harbor and those issues, but sort of an overseeing commission that could sort of direct where we're going with our port.
5 registered voters in Skagway sit on the commission, along with 2 liaisons, one representative of the Yukon Territory, the other a borough assembly member. The group has been meeting monthly to move forward projects like submitting the latest application for federal Tiger II grant funds for the ore dock and facilities, also known as the Gateway Project.
One of their focuses is networking and sort of getting our port out there so that people know that we're here and know what we can do, and show people, you know, that we are looking at developing these things, these facilities, and, you know, different things that people can use to ship things through here or dock more boats. And so that's one of their focuses as well. And, for example, they went to Washington, D.C. John Tronrod is the chair of that commission. He went, and then the mayor went, the manager, and the White House president went. It's really nice. There's sort of a coming together of a lot of different players, you know, and they're really, it's a focused effort.
The commission's first annual report to the borough noted the work with manager Tom Smith on the first Tiger grant, the meetings with Yukon government officials, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, White Pass and Yukon Railroad, and Yukon Mine representatives in Vancouver, British Columbia.
The assembly, they didn't speak a lot about it, but commented that they believe that the Port Commission did a lot more than what they wrote in their report. They were modest in their accomplishments, just from what I've observed and looking through meeting history. They've been very supportive.
Consider it good luck that the first home game of the new school year was a win for the Glacier Bears.
It was pretty awesome. They were victorious both nights, both JV and varsity.
Judy Erickson is head coach of the Haynes volleyball team, which played Wrangell in their first home match of the season. Junior varsity and varsity each played 7 games. Varsity won all of their games but one. The second game on Friday night, they lost by 2 points.
I just thought they were kind of jittery the first night, and didn't have their rhythm, but they were fine. The next night they got back into it and were a little more relaxed.
Junior varsity had an identical record, winning all their games against Wrangell but one, their third game on Saturday.
JV, they did well. I have about 4 crossover players that go from JV to varsity and vice versa, so we put them in, but then as we got ahead, I could put in some of my newbies, new freshmen, JVers, so they got some play time.
Wrangell is a conference team for the Glacier Bears, and Erickson says the team is more powerful than last year, with a roster of returning and tall players. But the Glacier Bears played to a lively crowd of neighbors, schoolmates, and parents on Friday and Saturday, which Erickson says helps.
It was awesome having a huge crowd Friday night. Yeah, it was really surprising, and it was great. And we were satisfied. We thought it was good. We mixed things up a little bit and tried a few different combinations. You know, when we got a lead, we'd put in a few other people, and move things around, because it's kind of a luxury to have, you know, so many people that you can put in. I haven't had that before. So now it's kind of like some people want to play more than I can play them.
Glacier Bears Volleyball travels to Sitka to play the Wolves this Thursday and Friday. Coaches may also get a chance to scout rivals Petersburg and Mount Edgecombe, who are also playing in Sitka this weekend. This is News and Public Affairs Director Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. KHNS local news every weekday at 5:30 p.m. and on weekday mornings at 6:49 and 7:49 a.m. Then a review of the week's top local news stories is heard every Saturday during Lynn Canal Weekend on KHNS.